I'm going to call the committee to order, and I know Representative Norton has been looking at the minutes.
Absolutely.
And would like to move the minutes as presented. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes that need to be done? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Minutes are approved. Okay. Representative Spears, you have a House Clause 2170 today, which talks about North Star riding. And I'm not sure exactly where the motion needs to go just yet. Pretty my prerogative at the end of the day to say we're going to move this back up to higher ed finance and policy. We'll keep it as an informational. So, convincing, we need to move this to higher ed.
Okay. Whenever you see $7.7 million, and remember this is in the finance committee, hopefully you'll be convinced that it has to go back to higher ed. Well, Mr. Chair and members, thank you for this presentation, House Bill 2170 this morning. This is, I'm just going to make a few brief introductory remarks and then introduce my colleague, Dr. Bob Hare, to actually go through the bill and the presentation with you. But, you know, in the 3 years I've been privileged to serve on this committee, we've had a host of different initiatives, ideas in front of us because we're biosciences and emerging technologies last year, and, of course, workforce development added to it this year. So we get to see all the really cool ideas that are coming down the pike. But one thing that I think we've all kind of talked about is we have so many different programs and initiatives out there. How do we coordinate them all together? How do we make sure that we get maximum effect for the staff time and the taxpayer dollars we are asking these folks to commit? And who is out there that's doing public-private partnerships already? And how can we maximize the return on that investment of capital, staff time, and the idea, the mental capital that gets into this whole thing? So of all the proposals we've looked at, when these good folks came to me late last year, and began to develop the North Star Rising proposal, it sort of takes many of the things we've done in the biosciences, in pharmaceuticals, in genetics, in agricultural technology, the different high-tech stuff, the chemical things we're doing, and, of course, one of the initiatives that I'm fond of, the nanotechnology component. How do we coordinate these and tie them all together? How do we make sure that everyone, as many people that are in these industries, future industries, that they're doing stuff the way they know about each other, that they can, I'm going to use the word here that some of us choke on, they can synergize their efforts. I'll try not to use that word again, but you get the idea. There's a lot going on. Sometimes we're reinventing wheels that we don't have to reinvent. Maybe, just maybe, there's a way we can help shed some light on and bring some order out of all this energetic and inventive chaos that seems to be floating around. Not only related to the intellectual side of things, but also the tax policy we've talked about over the years. There have been several bills that have, I think we've kissed them briefly here because we send them up to the Finance Committee. But there is a real problem here, members, when it comes to financing these ventures, when they're going ready to be commercialized, finding private capital that makes them grow and go and take off has become a real issue in Minnesota. You know, some of us have talked about, from some of my comments here just a few weeks ago, about government money going to private companies. At some point in the development, particularly I think when our higher institutions of higher learning are involved, I think there is an appropriate role for that. When they're ready to commercialize, though, we have some other issues, and rather than just throw government money at it, we have some ideas on tax incentives and tax treatment of angel money and investment money that are traveling in separate bills. They've been stripped out of this bill in the form in which you see it this morning. But I could tell you the story about one of my good friends from Shakopee, who used to be a medical device salesman and has actually developed a series of medical products from his days in the operating room, working side-by-side with surgeons. And he is in San Jose this morning, all week, again, this week. This will be the third week in the last four. He's been in California looking for first-round venture capital. He's burned up all his home equity, all of his credit cards, all of his wife's inheritance, and his angel investors. And he's to the point now in FDE trials where he needs serious money, and he can't find it here. Inquiring minds want to know why that is. That's a little beyond the scope of the discussion this morning, but as this comes together over the next year, I hope you'll keep these thoughts in mind. I've said enough about that because I want to introduce our friend and colleague, Dr. Bob Hare, this morning of Nanocopia. He's affiliated with the Minnesota Nano Project and part of the North Star Rising, one of the leading lights that helped pull several members together in the biosciences community to come up with the North Star Rising proposal. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd like to introduce and turn this over to Dr. Bob Hare.
Thank you, Representative Beard. Dr. Hare, welcome here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Beard, and the rest of the committee members. It's my pleasure to be here today. The effort that I'm talking about has involved...
Dr. Hare, could you please identify yourself for the tape?
Yes. I'm Robert Hare. I am the President Chief Executive Officer of Nanocopia, which is a nanotechnology-based drug delivery company that utilizes Minnesota University of Minnesota invented technology.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
By way of background, in terms of why I'm here, but you might appreciate just a short history. In the late 1990s, I was president of MinBio, which was a predecessor organization of Life Science Alley, during the days when that was a very small and struggling organization. And one of the things that I made as my central mission, because with a small organization you can't do a lot, was to say to the University of Minnesota, it's time to open your doors for business. And fortunately, with President Mark Udoff, who came to the university about that time, found very receptive ears, and we made some really great progress in beginning a public-private partnership. So that's, 10 years ago? And we're still talking about building public-private partnerships. I got burned out after a while and went to work on my company and was encouraged to join a new trade group that was forming called MinNano. But I wasn't sure there was a reason for being, but I decided to give it a shot. And I realized that in some of my work at Nanocopia, it took me to Ohio, where I was involved with a state university, and became aware of the Third Frontier Commission and its work in the state of Ohio, and saw the tremendous things that have happened since the state made that kind of a serious commitment to the knowledge economy. As we began talking at MinNano, we realized that we could do that same sort of approach, which is a multifactorial program for nanotechnology, and this committee has seen our small efforts the last two years, and as we began talking, we realized that one of the big problems was that we were one organization coming asking you for help and commitment at the same time that other organizations were coming. And we were one voice among many, and often, and in fact every single time, our requests got lost in the conference committee. So as we began discussions late last fall, we found that with the BioBusiness Alliance, the Minnesota High Tech Association, Life Science Alley, senior representatives from the University of Minnesota, Vice President Tim Mulcahy, the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, that and MinNano, that for the first time we were able to bring senior leaders of those organizations into one room and begin talking about what Minnesota needed. We've never brought those sides together, and I can assure you those are competitive organizations for membership. But we felt that what Minnesota needed was far more important than what our individual organizations needed, and that if we worked together, it would be for the common good of the state. And along the way, what emerged was a name that caught our fancy, North Star Rising, as a way to talk about what our vision is for Minnesota and a future based around transformed economy based on really the knowledge economy and companies that in that sector that could produce higher paying jobs than many of the people in the state currently enjoy. I recognize full hand the difficulties of raising capital in the state. In a previous company that I took public, the investment banks were on the West Coast and New York. What was often said was that venture capitalists don't stop in Minnesota. They fly over it. Maybe with Delta there will be more incentives to stop. But at any rate, it remains a continuing challenge. NIM-NANO undertook a serious comprehensive study of what would happen if we invested in a series of programs destined to help small companies. And that is a report that I can make available to you. But it's clear that a state investment in that area would have rapid payoff in jobs paying $60,000 to $80,000 a year. The BioBusiness Alliance undertook a similar study with Deloitte. You've seen those results. And I think that two common threads are that we can't rest on our laurels, that the medical device world is not the same as it was. In fact, the bigger companies are moving R&D efforts out of state, despite the fact that they're still growing. And that we need to look carefully both at what we need here in Minnesota and where we ought to be with respect to our competitive states. Now, in the 2 or 3 years since I started talking to Ohio, I became aware of similar efforts in Indiana, which is my home state. I'm a transplant here, so that I've been here for 18 years. And my nephew happens to be a state representative there, and so I understand some of the dynamics that go on in another state. And this is a state with a Republican governor who is known for very, very tight budgets, Governor Mitch Daniels. Under his watch, the state of Indiana invested $70+ million in a nanotechnology center at Purdue. It's seen startup companies numbering in the double digits as a result of that in the past 2 years. And very recently, he invested $12 million in a new initiative with the semiconductor industry at Notre Dame. It's going to be a $40 million nanoelectronics facility. It's a collaboration with Michigan, State of Illinois, and the Argonne National Laboratory, and it's projected to develop more than 2,000 jobs during the lifetime of that in a county that has one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation. So, this area is important. It's important to you, and it should be important to all of us. With that, I'm going to go quickly through some slides to give you a concept of what we're talking about and what our vision is, and hopefully it can become your vision. We call ourselves the North Star Rising Coalition. That will go away if we are able to establish a North Star Rising Commission. We think that this deserves the state's attention. And we have so many elements here in the state, and so many resources with our universities and the companies that are here, but they simply are not harnessed or tied together. And we think that we can exploit our resources if, in fact, we have a common strategy. And so we'd like to discuss how we can do that together. Now, if you look at what happens if you develop jobs in science and technology, you're not just developing science and technology jobs. You're, in fact, stimulating jobs in the legal profession, in healthcare, in hospitals, in physicians and doctors' offices, in real estate, in wholesale trade, and even in the McDonald's of the world, because these jobs have good purchasing power, and they use it. And so, it's estimated that you get a double bang for the buck if you cause the formation of a well-paying science and technology job. So, what we talked about is we recognize that the economic climate is dismal, and your challenges are really, really almost insurmountable. And so the question was, is we know we can't suggest a $1.6 billion 10-year initiative like Ohio passed as a bond issue. Put it out to the public, and they voted to approve it. We know that that's not going to happen this year and shouldn't happen this year. But we do think there are some things that we can do this year to start building the next 10 years. And we urge you to consider this. And I'm going to walk you through what it is that we're proposing. First of all, we have some low-hanging fruit, no-brainer things that we believe we should do. And it just so happens that there are other bills introduced by people who we had not included in our early discussions moving through that coincide with the things that we think ought to be done. And we applaud those efforts. But the more important issue is where we should go long-term and what elements need to be addressed in a final plan. And is there something that can roll over the biennium and the challenges of the biennium to give us a vision of where we want to go so that the actions that you take can build the future? We also know that we don't want to waste time by studying and trying to reinvent here. We ought to look at the best practices from other states and quickly decide which things we should try. One of the important things about Ohio is that they have been nimble. They have made changes. Every year the program looks slightly different, and so that they have been vested with the authority to make the program nimble and pliable to the local demand. Now, I would submit that if what comes out of this legislative session are the bills that include Representative Norton's bill, a bill that Representative Mahoney introduced, bills for the Office of Science and Technology, those are all important, and I think they should be done. I will submit that if that's all you pass this session, we will be very pleased. However, we will call this again a Band-Aid session because you have not addressed the long-term strategy. And we think that that has to go hand in hand with the short-term things that you are investing in today. So, what does it take to support a growth environment? We know that it takes research. We know that it takes investment capital. And it takes talent and workforce training. And it takes infrastructure. Many of the things that I use in my own business, nanotechnology, I could never afford as a startup company. Unfortunately, I'm able to utilize the resources at the University of Minnesota and the characterization facility using million-dollar instruments. And we've been able to generate over $2 million in National Science Foundation SBIR grants as a result. So, you know, I didn't need a match in order to make me go and do that get those grants. But we nevertheless found that it was tremendously helpful. And so that's why those programs are important. So what are the kinds of things that we've talked about? Well, we talked about the SBIR match, and in the North Star Rising Bill, which I'll go through in a bit of detail in just a minute, we proposed $2 million for matching programs to incentivize companies to move from phase one to phase two, which is the intensive commercialization phase. When Indiana did this, it doubled the success rate of its phase two proposal. Collaboration with the Office of Science and Technology. There are other bills moving forward. We think this is an important function of DEED. The name is perhaps a bit misleading because the Office of Science and Technology sounds as though Minnesota has a statewide strategy in science and technology, and it does not. It has an office with just a couple of people who are focused on helping small business secure federal grants in the state. And if anything, that office should be doubled and tripled and quadrupled in size if it's going to be truly effective. We think, however, that an overarching strategy is needed to guide that further investment. We had originally proposed that we establish the beginnings of centers of excellence in key areas that we know are going to be important to our future, in nanotechnology, in biomass, and bioinformatics. These things would supplement, for example, the Mayo University Genomics Partnership, and build and leverage on things that are already there, but enhance them and make them available to smaller companies. However, you're not going to see that proposed this year because we recognize that the dollars are short. We have, however, listed it as a mandate of the commission that it undertake to identify what's required to make those kinds of efforts be successful, where they ought to be located, and in what institutions. You separately from this bill, there are tax initiatives moving through, such as the Engle Tax Credit. We think that those are important, and I'm not going to go into those because I know they're not the purview of this committee specifically, but that is one way to free up capital to encourage small companies to develop. The BioBusiness Alliance needs to be refunded. The work that they've started is really seminal for the state, and unfortunately, it was established with too narrow of a focus. And that's why we need to look beyond the biosciences for what can happen in Minnesota. In workforce development, it's very hard to hire people who have pharmaceutical training or nanotechnology training. Some of that work is being stimulated at the Dakota County Center. So we have programs that are beginning, but we need to invest in that workforce training and with specific programs to help that. So these are what I would call important beginnings, provided that we have science and technology leadership in the state. And we're proposing a $1 million investment for 2 years to enable a group of science and technology experts and business people to come together and create a vision for the state of Minnesota that would harness the resources that we already have. If you do this, these programs below will not be band-aids. They will be the first steps toward the future. And so I urge you to think about it in that way. Now, if you authorize the North Star Rising Commission in this first year, and I say commission, it may not need to be a commission. Michigan has established a private economic development corporation. Indiana established a private economic development corporation and moved its entire Department of Commerce into that, so essentially privatized the Department of Commerce. Ohio has a commission, a formal commission, with authority and the ability to move forward. Pennsylvania has four separate groups around the state that have independent authority, and it's been operating for more than 20 years. So there are different models and structures that can be used to govern this. We don't know what the right way is this year, but we do know that if we create a commission and give it the authority to recommend to the legislature what the structure ought to be that's best for Minnesota, that that is the way to do it. We know that we need to collaborate with ongoing efforts. You funded the Biobusiness Alliance in the past. We're looking for renewal. You funded the Mayo University Partnership for Genomics. One representative asked me, well, we've done the Mayo University. Isn't that our science and technology initiative? And I would say that's a very important kernel of what could happen and what needs to happen. Now, I've mentioned these points here. You know, the question is really, how do you take something like this and let it have a long enough framework of action and planning and vision that it doesn't have to be dependent on every two-year cycle in terms of the ups and downs? So it needs to bridge over legislative sessions. And the question is should it be in government or outside of government? I don't know the answer to that. I think you'll each have an opinion about that as you grapple with this issue. So the timeline that we're talking about is, you know, we began talking about this in the 1990s. In the last couple of sessions, you've done the Mayo Partnership, the Biobusiness Alliance. You've had legislative work. The chair has done a tremendous amount of work looking at what's going on in other states. You've invested in clean room facilities, some very important things, but they're not tied together. There have been task force studies, both private and in the government. We think now is the time to harvest all of that, bring it together, establish a commission that would, in this next year, begin its design phase and fund the first step programs and oversee these programs so that we can decide if they're doing what they need to be. What are the metrics? How do we hold these programs accountable? Are we just going to put money in the Office of Science and Technology and not look at the outcome? I mean, those are the kinds of things that we're asking you to consider. And the year after that, we would submit that the commission should be able to give a blueprint to the legislature that would also recommend key bonding initiatives that would establish the infrastructure that's necessary going forward. It's hard to recommend a 10-year program. But we think that if you don't have a horizon that's that long, you're going to miss the boat. Now, if we go back to that slide that I showed the different components, what's really clear is that you can't have a single program that serves these needs. And we have projected what we think ought to happen over the coming years, but we know that the programs ought to be flexible. And you'll see on this some things that are familiar to you, some things that you have not seen yet. But the real important piece is bridging the valley of death. And that is what's known as the period after a company has a great idea to be formed and then gets to a point of commercialization. There's a period where, before proof of principle, before commercial success, it is extremely difficult to raise capital. And many companies go out of existence. Of 10 companies that I'm aware of that were founded in the same year that my company was formed, we are the lone company standing. 10% success rate is not a very good track record. And these were some other good companies with very good technology. And in some cases, I don't know what happened to the technology. So it's the startup phase and building around that. What are the things that are necessary? Well, the Office of Science and Technology can help by providing access to the market research that's needed and can't be paid for with federal funds and SBIR grants, but is necessary to write commercialization plans. So it's providing these tools the companies need in one way or another. Ultimately, if we follow the Ohio or the Pennsylvania model, there will be formal research grants to companies that are doing translational commercialization research. Not the initial research at the university that's fundamental, but the kind of research to get products really into FDA pathway development. And also products into the computer industry. We've got programs on here that really bridge all of these different aspects. The infrastructure investments that the legislature is looking at in broadband is critical if we're going to reach out to all corners of the state. It turns out that now somebody who's sitting outstate can actually control and run an electron microscope at the university via the internet. And so there are some tools that would really amazingly bring things closer to home. I can tell you that trying to work with Mayo is a real challenge. You got to spend 2 hours driving down there, finding a place to park. You get into your meeting. It may last an hour, and then you spend 2 hours driving back. And, you know, at the end of the day, you wonder if it's worth it, and yet you know it is. So, you know, the transportation infrastructure is key for this as well. So I'm not going to spend any more time on the slides, but I do want to walk quickly through the features of the bill so that you understand what we're proposing. In House File 2170, Section 2 is important because it establishes the commission. And what this commission will do is have a two-year mandate to both design a future program, design its best governance, and propose infrastructure investments for bonding. So basically, it sets the stage for the next 10 years. At that point, it may continue as it is, or it could be transformed into something like an economic development corporation. The membership of this is broad. It's representatives from the different trade associations, from the universities, from the Mayo Clinic, and from science and technology companies. I've had the fortune to work on MinNano with a vice president of research at Seagate Technologies, who spends most of his time back and forth between here and California. Seagate has tremendous resources available and infrastructure that is probably excess right now in this down economy. And so there are ways that we can harness big companies like that and tools that we could never imagine, even at the university, if we find a way to pull all of these people together. And we have staggered terms that we're proposing. We think that these things should bridge out about 3 years so that there's continuity and that people don't have to reinvent the whole process and thinking each time. I can tell you that working in our coalition, by having the same group together now for almost a year, that it's been tremendously helpful in terms of the fact that we have shared history and can bring our different points of view and experiences to the table. In Section 3, we established the Small Business Federal Grant Competitiveness Center, which is envisioned really to describe what the Office of Science and Technology does today. We think that this does it somewhat better. And there may be features here that can be incorporated or merged into your vision for that office. But we're proposing that office is really understaffed, both in terms of its programmatic money and the things it can spend to help companies, and in terms of its staff. Section 4 establishes the Minnesota Commercialization Enhancement Program. And the authorizations or the appropriations for these are mentioned in Sections 7 and 8. And that is the Phase 2 Small Business Innovation and Other Federal Grant Matching Program, which is the thing that Indiana did that greatly accelerated the return of federal research dollars to the state. 5, we have the Biobusiness Alliance mentioned in this bill because we see this, and the Biobusiness Alliance is our partner in this coalition, that it really flows into this overarching framework. And the Biobusiness Alliance, for example, recommended as one of the key initiatives nanotechnology, but realizes that it doesn't have the subject expertise within its present format to address that. And so that's how the biobusiness line fits within this overall program. And finally, there is Section 9, which is workforce development, which appropriates a small amount of money, really, but to reimburse part of the cost of having interns work crossways across companies and universities. We think that my experience has been, and we've worked now and been able to fund undergraduate students at the University of Minnesota, they have been enormously helpful and productive working in the small company environment. And I originally thought it would be a total waste of my time, and I was doing it as a favor. They've helped us. And so this is the kind of thing that could actually help us. I know that the Biobusiness Alliance bill is being moved forward separately and would come out of this. If you do one thing this year from this proposal, and don't listen to anything else I've said, establish the North Star Rising Commission. I think it will be the boldest stroke that this legislature could take. And the fact that we have bipartisan sponsorship for this means that it's not a political thing. It's a thing about our shared common good. And so with that, I'm going to stop talking. Take your questions.
Thank you, Dr. Hare. We have a couple of questions. Representative Poppy, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the work that you've put into this, and I do have some questions about the Centers of Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked all of your presentation, and when you said that it takes 2 hours to get to Rochester, it would take 2 hours to get to Austin as well, and I'm concerned because I want to make sure that you are talking about having perhaps Centers of Excellence throughout the state, or are you looking at concentrating in the metropolitan area? I guess I wanted the clarification of what a Center of Excellence is in your mind, and then just the aspect of the statewide, how you see those of us who live in other parts of the state being affected by this.
You know, it's a really interesting challenge we have with the huge size of the state and the concentrations of areas where this work is taking place. And if we want nanomanufacturing to take place in outstate Minnesota, there's going to have to be a linkage to, you know, both the metro area and the university system. I have highlighted this. I prefer to call these, first of all, instead of centers of excellence, centers of innovation, because what I'm really talking about is taking science that's already been developed and moving it into the manufacturing environment or into the product development environment, where we would have experts that are available both in the imaging and the characterization and the tools that companies need and able to train company staff in those, where instrumentation could be located either centrally or around the state. There's some instrumentation that is so sophisticated you simply couldn't afford to have more than one instrument in the state of Minnesota. You know, for example, the characterization facility right now, some of the instruments that I'm using are 20 years old and so out of date that they cannot do some of the nanotechnology imaging that we need to have done. So part of the challenge is making sure that you can establish single-use items and then broader utilization throughout the state. A scanning electron microscope, for example, and I'm speaking just about nanotechnology to maybe bring it to life for you, is something that could be afforded and could be housed at different state colleges around the state. Training administration could happen centrally. The broadband initiative that we talked about is going to make enormous distances seem shorter in terms of working on this. Where can you afford to put people with the kind of training that are necessary to really bring all this together? It's obvious that a fair amount of that will happen in the metro area. The question is does the center of innovation mean a physical center, or is it a network of offices and laboratories around the state? And I think that's the concept the Biobusiness Alliance has been working on, is really networking across the state so that these are really virtual centers that I think, rather than a physical center. While the laboratory itself has to be physical and located somewhere, the concept and the interactions do not have to be.
Dr. Hira, I think with what the Hormel Institute is doing down in Austin, we have at least one center of excellence that's going to be located south of the metro area.
Well, and the transformation from food and natural products into looking at natural products as drugs of the future is a really important initiative. And I've been fortunate to work with that group. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up, thank you. And thank you for mentioning the Hormel Institute, because it's a wonderful place in Austin, Minnesota. But and as you talked about the University of Minnesota, certainly there's the University in Duluth and Crookston and Morris, you know, and Rochester and with the Hormel Institute in Austin. So there are many locations throughout the state. I guess I just, and I appreciate that it can be a virtual or sort of invisible kind of center, but having that network, you know, that concept is a good concept. I do want to again bring forth that even in the rural areas, I think we can have some innovation, and you know, we also could be a spur to help things move along. And I think that's happening certainly in southern Minnesota, in our region, and Representative Beard is well aware of things that are happening in southeast Minnesota. So I just want to.
And you'll recognize that we're not asking for money for those centers in this year, mm-hmm. because we realize that the design of those needs to be well thought through, and we think that the commission would be very skillful in doing that and proposing something that would actually address those kinds of questions, so that when you see something that would fund those, you'll know exactly what it is that you're buying.
Representative Barnett, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sort of a comment and and maybe a few questions, but I represent the Mankato area, and you may or may not be aware of the type of action that's been occurring in southern Minnesota in regard to commercialization and partnerships between our universities and our private sector manufacturers. MSU Mankato does have a vice president whose whole job is to facilitate that partnership. And so my question grows out partly of that experience and partly out of the fact that I also sit on higher ed, and we do fund our universities for research and commercialization, and we have had them testify in regard to what their current activity is in that arena. And I'm asking all of this not because I'm at all skeptical of what you're proposing. I'm very interested in it, but I haven't followed it, and I know when things percolate up, they percolate up in a lot of different directions, mm-hmm. and that's how you get forward motion, but it's sort of, is this the right entity to be overseeing and combining all these efforts, or is it another entity alongside these other movements that are taking place, and how does it interface? And because you don't have anybody here today from either the University of Minnesota or MNSCU to testify about their partnership here, I'm interested in that, because I think that's where we as a state haven't had a Band-Aid approach. We have funded
yes.
those institutions in a way that they ought to be already able and empowered to help facilitate everything you're talking about.
I don't think that's entirely true.
And right.
I'd like to interrupt you and comment on that. Vice President of Research at the University, Tim O'Kahey, has been part of this because he believes that in order for him to serve the university's mission, he needs this kind of state-public-private partnership in order to achieve what it is that you want. And the kinds of bonding initiatives and the new buildings that you've built at the university and the places for scientists are all very important. But they're all early-stage research. They're not involved in the transfer and translation of technology into the public sector. And it takes a visionary person like the person leading an effort at Mankato State to do that kind of thing. I submit that if we had programs like the ones we're talking about, that individual's job would be much easier, and you'd probably see a doubling or tripling of the impact.
Representative
Reinhardt. Mr. Chair, I hear what you're saying. I'm just asking about that interface mm-hmm. because we have these active entities. What's going on in southern Minnesota now through the initiative funds, this Southern mm-hmm. Minnesota Regional Entrepreneurial Partnership, that involves bringing a lot of private sector investment to the table to address exactly mm-hmm. this area of commercialization. And we have the university and our two-year institutions at the table in this. There's actually things going on right now, partnerships with manufacturing, moving forward. The Wired Grant, which is a federal grant, is a partner in taking advantage of renewable energy technology and commercializing it, bringing it to the table. And all I'm asking is, because I'm aware of some of these things that are at the table, I just want to, when we're talking about investing in another entity, be sure that there's some vision for an appropriate partnership and support rather than another entity. Am I making sense?
Representative,
thank you. May I speak to that? Representative Bryan, thank you for bringing that up. This is a policy committee, and the proposal to have North Star Rising is a large proposal that we haven't created in this committee. It's been the good folks that actually are doing the things around the state that we have over the years encouraged them to do, who've gotten together largely on their own initiative. And several of those members actually are here this morning. There's someone from Minsky was here, someone from the Minnesota University of Minnesota, Minnesota High Tech. In fact, he just had this little letter handed out from the high tech folks. And if you'd like several of those folks, we'd want to take the time to have them weigh in or ask them questions. We can do that, Mr. Chair. Just so you know, they are in the audience. Maybe if you'd like, we'll just have them stand up and wave for just a moment. There's a couple of them here and one behind me here. So, this is an overarching process that's happened. There's been a lot of coffee consumed, a lot of cookies, I'm sure, and meetings all around the state to bring this to this moment here. And now is the moment when we're going to begin presenting it to elected policymakers such as this good group here. It's a great question, but yes, there's a lot of people doing a lot of work out there.
We don't think the expertise currently resides in the state departments that currently exist. For example, DEED does not have the expertise in-house to do this. It has some, but not all. And we think that it's time to really pull together public-private mixture of people with that expertise to assess where we are and where we need to go. And the reason that this is constructed really as a two-year planning effort is because we don't want to say that this is the entity that needs to be the long-term survivor. We want to make sure that you have a chance to weigh in on that and look at what it's accomplishing and what it proposes to do and how it's built around best practices. So that's why the bill is very carefully constructed to give you that kind of input.
I'm a little worried when you start asking the politicians to come in and figure out how to run a business.
I have Representative
Feiner. I'm going to go to Representative Winkler, and then I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you at least would agree that we need to have a people who are looking at these issues more broadly. And I guess one question I have is it begs a larger question, which is, this is for science and technology. Why are we limiting what we're doing to science and technology? Biobusiness is too narrow. Science and technology is much broader. But what you're pointing to is that we have really a lack of an entire economic development plan for the state across sectors in general. And I think, I don't know what the best model is. And I think you're pointing to the right question, which is it should be public and private partnership. It should be a commission. It should be a private development corporation. How broad or narrow should the focus of these things be? I think, to me, this commission raises the most important questions, but it doesn't give me the answer yet. And I don't know if you have any thoughts of why we would do it the way in this particular way.
Dr. Heer, if you could be a little brief, because I think we've got three or four other questions, and I'm not going to go all the way to noon today on this.
I'll tell you that if we form this commission and it looks at what's going on in the other states to see what would work best here, Michigan, for example, is broader. Indiana is broader. And I can show you the actual legislation that was passed in the various chapters and things that are encompassed within those efforts. And they are broader than what we are talking about here, but they incorporate science and technology. So I don't know what the right answer is. I think you're raising the right question. The question is can that be done by a single entity, or does there need to be some focus groups, if you will, focused areas? Science and technology is already a hugely broad area, and it will trickle down and impact almost every sector of the economy if it's done right. But that's not saying, it's not talking about infrastructure,
Representative Norton,
retail, et cetera, et cetera.
Representative Norton, did you have a question?
Just quickly, I'm really pleased to see this on the table. As I've mentioned before, I've gone to a couple nano conferences, and I do think there's a great deal of benefit to continuing to support that. I'm not yet convinced that this is the answer. I really appreciate you bringing it to the table because I think this is the beginning. I'd feel a little more comfortable if we had a broader discussion. I guess I'm disappointed that Life Science Alley and BioBusiness Alliance aren't part of this bigger discussion and we're not all together here today, because I would have liked to have had a broader-based discussion. And I see we have some dismay in the back.
Well, no, it's just that because of the BioBusiness Alliance is meeting outstate Minnesota today, and those people have been at the table at each and every meeting. And what you see before you is the distillation of what we all agreed and took to our individual boards.
I appreciate the clarification on that, because I would have liked to have heard that discussion, and I wasn't seeing it here today, and I've been getting a little concerned that we're having a discussion and they weren't at the table.
They are at the table. They're just not
here today. They're just not here today.
Yeah.
Thank you, and I appreciate that clarification.
Both of them are actually out of the country doing their jobs,
yeah.
So that's why they can't be here today. They have been part of this great mix that we talked about a little bit ago, Mr. Chairman, Representative Norton, that have brought it to this point. There's been a lot of cooking and stirring and stuff going on behind the scenes. You're getting the first glimpse of it here this morning. So But they have been there.
Thank you very much for that clarification.
Representative Norton, did you have some follow-up?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. I would very much... I think it would have been more beneficial to me than to have had them here at the discussion, and it's just unfortunate they're not, and I wasn't placing blame. I was just saying that was a concern I had as we talked. So I do look forward to more discussion on this. There were a couple things I just wanted to add. One, you talked about the distance, and I know Representative Poppe was talking about getting out to other places outside the Twin Cities, and I think that links to some discussion we're having here at the legislature, and we'll continue on the need for rail and light rail and getting places fast, because we can't have everything centered in the middle of the high speed, yes. So I think that's part of the discussion. And also I noticed on your last slide up here, you do have the lifelong learning accounts, which we're fortunate in that we're getting a hearing tomorrow in taxes, but it's information only, as I think we're here today because of the economy in the state. But if someone is able to be there tomorrow to share their support for that, I think the tax committee would appreciate hearing that there is support. I know High Tech has been in contact with me, IBM, and I'm very pleased to hear the support and see it on the screen as well. So it wasn't really a question other than
no,
the first
No, it wasn't.
Part.
That's okay.
Thank you.
I think our last question is going to be from Representative Gottwell. I'm going to have a few closing comments, and we're going to have a... Go ahead, Representative Gottwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a real quick question. We have the Science Initiative in Central Minnesota. I think they're going to be here next week to present a bit. But how does that entity tap into what's going on here, if they haven't already? I don't want to assume that they're not, but I assume this is trying to tap into and leverage the resources of all of these initiatives around the state, correct?
Yeah, these regional initiatives are really, really important. And the fact that they've sprung up or gotten off the ground, you know, it speaks both to the commitment of people involved and also, you know, occasionally to funding by local government and here at the legislature. We think that if we had an overarching group looking at the resources that are here in the state and how to better leverage those, that we would get double the bang for the buck, essentially, by being able to harness those groups, giving them a place. Actually, we need you know, one of the people I've been spending a great deal of time to is in charge of the mayor of Arden Hills. We have the mayor of Falcon Heights sitting back here, and they're on a workforce development thing. And Stan Harpstead has talked about the need for watering holes, you know, where we can come together and really talk and converse and share things, because so much happens when that kind of interaction occurs. And right now it's not happening. And a convening, this group that we're talking about could also serve as a convening body.
Mr. Johnson wanted to add a few comments, and then I think we're going to be... what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to move the latest bill over to keep it alive so we can talk about it. And we'll be blunt, there's not a lot of money this year, and it's going to be a little difficult. But we can at least talk about it and have the conversations with the finance chair later on. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Bob Johnson. I'm here on behalf of the Boyce Fort Indian Reservation. I apologize, first of all, to the chief author. I didn't have a chance to talk to him, and I'm certainly not here to suggest that that this committee necessarily amend the bill. But when I read the documentation that's found in the supporting documents as well as the bill, they talk a lot about job creation and the issue of science and technology. Boyce Fort runs approximately 25% unemployment. The state runs at 8% unemployment. So we hear a lot about jobs this particular session. And it so happens that in the bill they talk about biomass. My client, Boyce Fort, is in the middle of a process right now to establish a pilot project in the biomass industry. And so what I would like is, at some point, some consideration that this bill incorporate one member from the state's 11 Indian reservations that, in fact, have technology and science projects and individuals that have expertise that I think would add to this initiative. And with that, Mr. Chairman and members, I close my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And members, I have great sympathy or empathy or hope for this type of a bill. We have, I can see even in my own committee that there's competing forces trying to bubble one to the top versus another one. And we as a state won't move forward unless we figure out some way to all play in the same playground together nicely and not beat up on each other. We have medical devices, we have fuels, we have ag, we have manufacturing, and whether it's nanomanufacturing or manufacturing of a different variety, and the idea of an overarching plan that addresses all of them and moves all of them forward is a much better way to go than to have one group competing against another amongst the 201 of us, and maybe several of us losing and one winning in a particular year. I do like the idea of having an overarching group that looks at this. I have actually read the legislation in Indiana and Michigan. I'm not sure this state is ready to give up that kind of power at this particular time.
That's why this is called a commission.
But members, this has a lot of good things to it, and if we can move something like this forward, it's we need to keep talking about this. We need to keep moving, trying to figure out a way that the several competing areas are addressed and addressed collaboratively. And for that reason, I'm going to hold this over so that it can continue to be talked about. Maybe if there's some miracle happens and we are able to move something forward in Representative Rukavina's bill, I certainly think that would be fine. But at this particular time, I'm going to lay this bill over and have the conversations as we can, and we can all kind of try to lobby the next particular committee. Members, unless there's any other closing comments, Dr. Ehr, thank you
for the opportunity to speak.
Representative
you.
Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair, just nothing to do with the witness. I just heard that President Obama is appointing Betty McCollum to a seat in his commission. I just wondered if he'll be running for her seat.
Dr. Ehr, thank you so very much for coming today.
Let her down.
April 1st. It is April 1st, right?
I think the weather outside tells us that.
No, it's not.
With that, we stand adjourned.